NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro Choice Ohio. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Gabe.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Randy.
Okay, so this week, as everybody knows, there was a tragic shooting in Colorado with the Planned Parenthood. There were 3 people killed and 9 more injured.
Yep.
Yes. The 3 people killed were Officer Garrett Swayze, Kari Stewart, and Jennifer Markovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to their families and to all of the people who were wounded or affected in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then in sort of looking to see how we would all move on, we were looking at the way that different politicians, including folks in Ohio, were talking about Planned Parenthood, talking about the subject of abortion, and what sort of language they were using.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, no, this person was a loner who lived in the woods all by himself. You know, he was not associated officially with any organization that we know of at this point.
Right.
But the violent rhetoric that has been building and building and building, I mean, there have been at least 3, if not more, firebombings of Planned Parenthood clinics since these deceptive false videos came out.
Right.
We've seen vandalism happen actually in the Toledo, at our Toledo independent abortion provider. The last clinic up there has had violent vandalism. Their door was broken about a month ago. And we're seeing this uptick because this violent rhetoric that just keeps happening and happening and happening. So even though, you know, we talk, antitrust organizations talk about how they deplore this violence and all those other things, it's the language they use every day,
right,
that causes that person who already has mental stability issues,
yes,
to take things into their own hands. When you call somebody a murderer over and over and over again, and the state never arrests them or never does anything about it.
Literally put target pictures with targets on them.
Mm-hmm. Somebody is eventually going to take action. And that's what happened with Dr. Tiller's murder. When Scott Ritter walked into Dr. Tiller's church and murdered him in cold blood.
In his church.
In his church.
Not at his, you know, abortion facility.
No.
In his church.
Yes.
And that was after years and years of, I mean, he was shot in both arms in 94, and his clinic had been bombed several times. So we've seen this kind of cycle of violence happen over and over and over again. And I think what's interesting about this one is that in the past, after Tiller's murder, it quieted a little bit. And we're not seeing that now.
Right.
I mean, the people who are calling Planned Parenthood terrorists and calling doctors murderers and those kinds of things are doubling down on that rhetoric,
yes,
in response to our pushes and pushes from other pro-choice groups around the country to say, we can disagree about the issue of abortion and we can talk about how you feel about it and how I feel about it without demonizing abortion providers, without calling women who go into abortion clinics for health care whores and devils and escorts who stand outside of clinics, death escorts, which is their favorite.
Oh, good Lord.
You know, we can have conversations without using that language, and that's
right,
where politicians should be leading. And in Ohio, they are most definitely not leading in that regard.
Right.
So speaking of which, we have 3,
yeah,
that we wanted to highlight today.
We do. The first one is Cliff Rosenberger. We raised this point in a press release, email. We've been talking in all of our various formats about this sort of rhetoric. The media here in Ohio have been asking these questions of elected officials. One of the questions went to Ohio House Representative Speaker Cliff Rosenberger. His office, they replied to the Columbus Dispatch, and the quote in the paper says the speaker sends his thoughts and prayers to the victims of the attack in Colorado as well as to their families. And then they continue, it is shameful that this organization, and they're referring to us,
yes,
to NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio, it is shameful that this organization is attempting to use the tragic and inexcusable actions of a gunman for political gain.
Mm-hmm.
That's the speaker's office.
I don't understand where he got the political gain part. Like, I'm not working on this to pass a bill, which is what they do every single time.
Right.
No.
I'm making sure people don't get shot and killed going for health care.
Yes.
If there's one thing that should never, ever be political, is that no one should be shot. Well, in general, no one should be shot. Let's just put that out there.
But a blanket statement that's okay to make.
Yes. There aren't very many blanket statements, but that one I think is a solid one. No one should get shot, especially just sitting in the waiting room, waiting to go back to see your doctor for medical care.
Right.
And that is exactly what happened in Colorado. This is not about politics. We are not doing this in any way, shape, or form for political gain. What we're trying to do is say you, as Speaker of the Ohio House, should be watching what you say. Because people do listen.
Exactly.
And they will take action based on how you speak about these things. We can have conversations, and you can push bills to defund Planned Parenthood. I don't think any of these bills that we're facing are ever going to go away. But we can do it without demonizing the other side. And that's what they need to start doing instead of doing all these crazy quotes about, you know, selling baby parts and all the other ridiculousness that we've been hearing out of members of the Ohio legislature and the Ohio community in general.
Right. I think it's true that the bills won't go away. This quote from the speaker's office says that these are being done for political gain. That's the political gain that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Is these bills are helping out anti-abortion politicians who are using this rhetoric. That's the political gain that's happening.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, we're not gaining anything over here.
No.
No.
I just don't want people not to get shot. That's what I want.
Well, I want people not to get shot, and then I want people not to get hurt because they couldn't get health care.
Yeah. Yes. For sure.
You know, I want people to not have their lives go in a direction that they're trying to avoid because they couldn't have access to an abortion provider.
Yeah. Well, and it's also just kind of ridiculously over the top. The people who say this language completely turn around immediately and say, but we don't condone violence. I mean, a perfect example is Created Equals Killers Among Us campaign. They've been running against our doctors. It's a postcard with the doctor's picture, with the bloody fetus picture next to it, with the home address of this doctor saying that this doctor is a murderer. And she's killing people.
Yeah.
Here's her home address. But we don't condone violence.
What exactly do you want people to do with that information?
Exactly.
Right.
Send her a letter?
Like, no.
Really? I couldn't, when me and Gay were talking about, I was like, you know, I cried when I heard it happen because my sister works for Planned Parenthood. She has been she was with an affiliate for like a year, and now she is to get a position with them as their Southern Field Specialist. So she travels every time I talk to her, she's like on a plane traveling because she has 6 or 7 states under her that she visits and goes to all the clinics. And she told me, you know, they have to amp up security now. Yeah. And probably in their eyes, the fact that we both work there means that we're probably going to hell first. I think it means we're going to heaven first. Uh-huh. But so to me, like you said, it's not about trying to push some political agenda. It's just about that people should be able to go there. And this is a clinic. It's where people get health care. And you shouldn't have to worry about someone coming in and shooting you. You shouldn't have to have a security guard there, but it's like, this is what happens. And I mean, every time this happens, then the president says, oh, this, you know, this isn't going to be the new normal, but it is.
It is.
We're already there. We've already decided that this is what it is to live in America, and this is how it's going to be, and nothing's going to change because the people we have in office, and other special interest groups have decided this is what it's going to be. And we the people don't have enough power and money behind us, unfortunately, to lobby for anything different. And I mean, that just makes me really sad. Yeah. It makes me really sad.
I think a great example to illustrate exactly how far this has all changed. You know, this guy used an AK-47, which used to be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get one now for like $1,000, maybe cheaper. Mm-hmm. But it used to be illegal, and it was made illegal in 94. And Congressman Kasich, I was surprised, voted to make these illegal. Mm-hmm. He went against the NRA in 94.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, 20...
When people were sensible.
Right. And now we're 20-some years later, 21 years later, and there is no way in hell
no.
that John Kasich would double back on the NRA and vote to ban these weapons of war.
Yeah. Yes.
That are killing Americans.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Why does anybody need an AK? I mean, okay, we can get into the gun debate, but
to kill people. There's only
one. Kill people. You don't need any of that stuff for anything else.
There is no animal on earth that you hunt with an AK-47, and that's the proper tool.
And the rest of the world looks at us like idiots, and they should. Because they don't have to deal with the things that we're dealing with. They don't have to deal with this. I saw the other day, we're 352 days in now, maybe 353 days, and there's been 300 and something.
355. It was more shootings than days.
Yes.
Damn. Yeah. Okay.
More mass shootings than days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, I mean,
if that's not the new normal, I don't know what is the
new
normal.
That's
one
exactly
happens more
right.
than once a day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, and the other ironic thing about this whole thing is before the House voted to defund Planned Parenthood last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was now, they had a whole 2-hour debate on how we should never let Syrian refugees into the United States because they're all terrorists.
Exactly.
I'm going to quote our fabulous senior senator from Ohio, Senator Sherrod Brown, and paraphrase his quote that I read last week, which was that he's pretty sure that most terrorists in the United States would have been white men.
Right.
Not Syrian refugees.
Right.
Again, what we saw last week in Colorado.
Yes.
Domestic terrorism perpetrated by a white dude.
Right.
So.
Who it, you know, sounds like he was taking his cues off of lies about videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we read something today in the Cleveland Plain Dealer that said that his wife had actually said recently that he actually bragged about how he had actually superglued the locks of a Planned Parenthood like 20 years ago. So this guy isn't brand new to this subject. He's, he's been around for a while.
Yeah. And for all those pro-life people saying that, oh, that has nothing to do with us. The last time I checked, you didn't have to be riding around on your horse under a sheet with a KKK to burn a cross in somebody's front yard and to be a raging racist and to agree with all of their rhetoric. So just because he wasn't coming to y'all's meetings or on your email list doesn't mean that he wasn't taking those words to heart when you're saying them. It's apparently when they arrested him, he was talking about all of that stuff.
Yes. Right.
And Kasich, case in point, when he was there in New Hampshire at a town hall talking about defunding Planned Parenthood and talking about, you know, these videos that have been debunked. We found nothing. 11 states have had investigations. They found nothing, including Ohio. It's been going on for months now, and nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if something was happening, which it's not, but, you know, hypothetically, they don't seem to really care because it's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. But I'm really happy that the New Hampshire voters, you know, told him that he was wrong and that he was lying and that actually, no, those videos haven't proved anything. They've been proved to be deceptive and lies and that he should not be defunding Planned Parenthood. And people in Ohio don't want him to defund Planned Parenthood. The majority of people, I hate it when they say so many in those articles like, oh, well, I think the majority of taxpayers agree with us. They don't want this. I'm like, no, that's not how any of this works. Did you ask them?
No.
But it seems if you guys ever were to go to the State House to hear testimony on a myriad of things, then you would see they're making up all of this legislation, all of these bills, and they never even take the step to ask the people who it would affect, do you want this? Do you think this would be something good? It doesn't matter. They're there, and they're going to make up the rules, and that's it. And they don't, you know, all of this just goes back to that they don't trust women. Women are too feeble-minded and weak to make their own decisions. They're being preyed on by Planned Parenthood, so we need to come in and sweep in and help these helpless women who don't know how to make decisions for themselves, and that's how all of this stuff is happening because, they don't care about women. They don't trust women. They don't think you can make a decision for yourself, and that's what they're going to continue to believe until you get them out of office.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're willing to continue these lies. The event that you were talking about with Kasich, I think it was November 13th, New Hampshire Town Hall. They asked him why he was attacking Planned Parenthood. He said, they sell baby parts. And the crowd yelled no. Senate President Keith Faber, the third one of our state house politicians who's been, you know, continuing these lies that are part of this damaging dialogue that lead, you know, the mm-hmm. the lone wolf shooters, you know, this is where they get their ideas from. Mm-hmm. Keith Faber, Senate testimony on the bill to ban, to defund Planned Parenthood. He said, after viewing these videos, it was sickening for me to know that this organization, which is willing to ruthlessly dismember an unborn child in order to obtain a profit, is also partially funded by the state, the taxpayers of the state of Ohio. Talking about profit, there's, you know, everything non-profit. That he says is
it's
just
lies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And lies. He doesn't care at all that this is going to lead to, you know, somebody believing all of these lies and then taking mm-hmm. action in some way that, you know, gets somebody killed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
has to stop.
And I really wish, not to sound like the other side, but sometimes they have a point with the media and only saying in that I see a lot of times the place they're like so afraid to say that someone mm-hmm. told a lie.
Yeah.
Like that is calling someone, it's like the whole calling someone a racist is more offensive than actual racist things happening.
Yeah.
Like calling someone a liar is more offensive than them actually lying. Yeah. And so we have to say stupid stuff like, oh, they transcended the truth, or we're not, you know, this isn't really been backed up, but he's saying this, but it's like, no, we know this, that's not true. You can call, it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's okay to call a lie, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And their intent, you know, the intent of the politicians, the end game, the intent of the politicians with their, you know, laws and the regulations mm-hmm. that, you know, are completely medically unnecessary.
Yes.
And the intent of the guy that goes into a clinic with a bomb or a gun, the end objective is the same objective.
Yes.
And that's to close abortion clinics.
Yes.
That's what John Kasich is trying to do. Mm-hmm. We had some news in Cincinnati.
Yeah. So actually on a good news front, it actually happened kind of at the same time all the stuff was going on in Colorado. It was a kind of a weird, yay, oh, kind of moment in my brain. But so Planned Parenthood Southwest Ohio operates the last abortion clinic in Cincinnati. And because the state budget passed by Kasich in 2011 banned public hospitals from doing transfer agreements, which are required for licensing, Planned Parenthood down there cannot get a transfer agreement. They had one with the University of Cincinnati, and they can no longer do that. So they had to apply for what's called a variance, and they applied for it and were denied because the Department of Health randomly decided three completely unnecessary backup doctors were not enough completely unnecessary backup doctors, and they needed a fourth. So
why not 10?
They'll get to it.
Well, that's,
they'll get to it.
And frankly, that's what we expected. We expected them to go back and apply with four, and the Department of Health coming back and saying, well, no, four is not enough, and then go back with five. That's kind of what we expected. As a complete surprise, one day before the 60-day limit, because if you are a frequent listener, you now know that the Department of Health only has 60 days to rule on these variance applications.
Right.
On the 59th day, before it just automatically got denied, mm-hmm. the Department of Health actually granted Planned Parenthood Southwest Ohio's variance and said that they are clear through May. It's supposed to be a 1-year process, but they always backdate it to the day you applied.
Okay.
So they applied in May. It took them this long for them to actually do something about it. So
they could have given them a year, but they gave them 6 months.
Yeah, because that's what they do, because they're... and so they are clear until May, which at which point they will reapply again. But so good news out of Cincinnati for now, at least. Mm-hmm. They are clear. The one kind of caveat in that is that Ohio law is a little bit weird in the fact that tomorrow the director of health could decide that the variance isn't good enough and still deny it. So they've said they're good through May, but there are little caveats in law that, you know, if somebody like Kasich decided to beat the crap out of the health department until they did what he wanted them to do,
right,
it could change. But for now, they're clear until May. And
so Planned Parenthood Southwest Ohio in Cincinnati, their mm-hmm. abortion facility has been open, is open,
yes.
will be open
yes.
through May.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully after that. But yes, they're right. clear through May.
And that's one of the three clinics across Ohio that have been kind of in the greatest danger of mm-hmm. being shut down by the state. So that's one mm-hmm. third of the facilities in Ohio are, you know, threatened
yeah.
in this way through these transfer agreement, variance mm-hmm. requests, red tape. Yes. None of which is medically necessary. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think it's another place when we talk about this violence and we talk about targeting, this is another place where the pieces kind of come together because, you know, if you, as you know, anything you submit to a state office is public record unless it's protected by confidentiality. And these variance applications are not protected in that way. Well, so when Planned Parenthood names four doctors in this variance application, that's public record. And what we're seeing in Dayton with the Dayton provider is that groups like Created Equal are going after those doctors in that variance application. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these, you know, they seem like bureaucratic red tape and ways to close clinics down, but they also have a very kind of sinister backdoor route of allowing these groups to go after these medical providers for helping to keep an abortion clinic open in their area.
Right. Yeah, the state's basically saying, oh, we're going to deny this. Tell us the name and address of another doctor we can have somebody harass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So today on WOSU, we heard All Sides with Ann Fisher. Mm-hmm. They discussed this. Jackie Borchard with Northeast Ohio Media Group started off the conversation. Stephanie Kite was on at the end. And in the middle, we heard from Ohio Right to Life, Stephanie Kreider, who was supporting the attacks on Planned Parenthood and abortion bans.
Well, the legislative attacks on Planned Parenthood.
Yes. Yes. Randy, what do you think?
It was very hard to listen to. It was infuriating at some cases. I just think that it was clear. It's very clear that they, like you said, whenever something happens, then they just come out with this. Oh, you know, we're not for this. We don't condone violence, but these are terrible people. And so I was so angry when she was talking about them, and she used the word, you know, the abortion industry is culpable, Planned Parenthood's culpable. You only use the word culpable for people who are guilty of something or who you think have committed a crime, and there are no crimes being committed because abortion is legal. But by saying culpable, then you're saying that these people are guilty, they've done something wrong, and therefore they deserve to be punished.
Yeah,
because as we know in America, we're not obsessed with justice. We're obsessed with punishment. Mm-hmm. And so if you do something wrong and Planned Parenthood is doing something wrong, they deserve to be punished. And so that's still the language that they're putting out there when she says that they're culpable for whatever she thinks that they're culpable for. And just going on about, you know, the Down syndrome bill that they pushed forward, saying that, you know, if you get a fetal diagnosis of Down syndrome, then it would make it illegal for you to have an abortion. And she got into talking about the doctor-patient privilege and just saying that, you know, basically that doesn't really matter here because those women they're not going to the regular OBGYN. They're going specifically, you know, to an abortion clinic. So they don't have a relationship with that doctor, which is completely insane. Yeah.
Like the right to privacy only exists if you've had a prior relationship.
Well, and I think it also goes to something else that they've really been working on for a really long time, which is demonizing doctors, medical doctors with medical degrees who went to medical school who also provide abortion care. They've been segmented out as not real doctors.
Exactly.
They're sinister. They're bad. They're, you know, they're not real medical communities and individuals. They're not part of the medical community. And that's what I, when I heard it, that's
like
what I really pulled out.
Like chiropractors or something.
You're OBGYN. You've got a relationship with, and you can have a conversation with that person. And you know, that's all covered by HIPAA. But when you go to the abortion clinic, that's not a real doctor. So they don't have to do that. That's what I heard in that. And it again, goes back to this whole demonization and otherness that we kind of create around provision of abortion services and getting abortion services. That, you know, that's not part of real medical care. It's just something separate over here. Well, Planned Parenthood should just stop doing abortions and then we'll stop attacking them.
Right.
No, abortion is health care and they provide health care, so they provide abortion care. That's all together. It's medical care. And that was what really just boiled my blood on it.
And I love this email that they didn't take many questions, but there was an email that was sent in talking about, you know, religious exemptions. And the email was like, well, what if my religious belief says that bringing a child into the world when I know that I can't take care of them financially or mentally would be a sin? And so the right thing would be to do is to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. Well, how is that? How is this not going against my religious belief? And then she just had like, no, yeah. She was like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, mm-hmm. I have no answer. So basically our mm-hmm. religious beliefs, okay, we don't want to trump those, but anybody else, we don't care what you're doing because we disagree with that. And also she was just talking about things that, first of all, you're not a medical doctor. You don't have a degree. Mm-hmm. You don't have any medical experience. And sitting here talking about how that, oh, well, I think it's better for the woman if she found out she had a fatal fetal anomaly to carry it to carry it until the baby is born and have a stillbirth or let the baby die naturally. That would be better than having an abortion. Like, says you.
Yeah.
You, I mean,
that's your decision, that's and you have decision, the right to do that.
And you can do that, but maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe somebody else doesn't want to do that. And you're sitting here trying to make that decision for all women because you don't agree with it. And that's like, that is totally the opposite of what America is supposed to be. It's totally the opposite of letting people make their own choices and decisions for themselves and their own families by this person who knows nothing about what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Because she's not a doctor. Saying that it would be okay for women to carry saying that possibly if you had something to do with the life of the mother, that those things are not, you never see a reason where it would be medically necessary to end it. Like, that's just, crazy talk.
Well, just talk to normal people. I mean, yes. We, you know, a couple weeks ago did a press conference with a wonderful woman from Cincinnati, Sheva. Mm-hmm. And she actually said in her testimony in that press conference that those were her options, is giving birth to a stillborn baby because it would die before it was born.
Yeah.
Or to terminate. And because she was in Ohio and we've lost half of our abortion clinics and only two do later term procedures, she couldn't get in a clinic in Ohio. So right. It was travel to Chicago or give birth, stillbirth. And she actually, I think, used these words or something very similar, that like giving birth to a stillbirth was her worst nightmare.
Yeah.
That was definitely not, she was willing to do whatever she needed to do
right.
to not do that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that would have been her biggest nightmare.
Yeah. She was very clear about that. That was the most mm-hmm. important thing to her. I mean, she was devastated that she'd lost you know, the opportunity to have a child. She absolutely wanted, mm-hmm. you know, this mm-hmm. This dying fetus out of her.
Yeah.
She did not want to carry it around. Mm-hmm. That's what she considered to be the most traumatic thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stephanie Kreider's quote was saying that there's no reason for these babies to be killed in the womb when they could be delivered and die naturally, which is less traumatic for the mother. That's a hell of a choice to force onto somebody.
Yeah. Yes.
They're not saying you have that option. They're saying that that's what you have to do mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. because we're not going to let you, you know, terminate this pregnancy in a way that you feel is best for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yes, like there are some women who say, God, I'm going to pray to every God I know and hope that the doctor was wrong and that they'll be healthy or I'll get some time.
That's okay.
And that's fine. But on the other side, we've got to make sure, especially because there are no health exemptions to this bill. So, you know, we've had another story from a woman who shared a story before. She had a severe form of fatal form of dwarfism diagnosed, such mm-hmm. that the fetal body never got to a size where it could be viable. The organs just were all out of place and most likely would die in utero, but if not, would survive an hour and pass away. Right. But part of that was that part of the other complication was an increase of amniotic fluid in the uterus. And she had had a previous emergency C-section, which already increases your risk of rupture. And then she's got extra amniotic fluid, which increases uterine pressure, which increases risk of rupture, especially with that scar.
Risk of the uterus rupturing.
Yes.
So one
which
of your organs.
Death. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many blood vessels that even if that happens in a hospital, like the chances of survival are slim.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got this woman who, you know, the doctor was basically like, well, you know, I'm against it. The ethics board said no. Her insurance company said they wouldn't cover it. Like, she was basically being forced to carry this pregnancy to term and risk her own life because she wasn't medically ill enough to classify under, you know, the it's going to save your life.
Right. It's such a narrow definition of, life at risk.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what we're really looking at here is that these definitions are so, so low. So even if a woman is looking, I mean, she was frankly, when she reached out to us and we finally did find her care, she was actually wanting a delivery. She didn't want to terminate because she did want that hour if she could get it with her child before it died.
Right.
But, you know, she actually went to our providers and said, they said, well, you know, you're too medically complicated. I can't safely do this in an outpatient clinic. And if the hospital said no, I can't go there and do it either. So we're kind of stuck. So we luckily finally found her a provider. But, you know, these are the kind of situations that they're talking about and just completely ignoring the actual reality of women's lives. Mike Gonadakis from Ohio Right to Life was quoted a couple weeks ago saying, well, we can't, you know, make exceptions for every eventuality. We just have to leave it to the ethics board. Well, that worked really well for this woman because the ethics board said no and tried to kill her. So, you know, this is the reality we're living in, is that they don't actually recognize the reality that pregnancy is most of the time an amazing, wonderful thing that ends up in a baby that everybody loves and is amazing and wonderful. But in some of these cases, women's lives are on the line.
Right.
And your bill will harm them in so many ways. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're turning something that's supposed to be a great thing, which is having a uterus and being able to carry life, into almost feels like a curse the way they're doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that woman I was just talking about, when I interviewed her for testimony on our insurance ban several years ago, as I was leaving her apartment after we'd done the video, she's like, I'm scared to get pregnant in Ohio again because most likely I'll have a complicated pregnancy because of all the issues I've had before. And I need to have healthcare available to me in those eventualities. And I don't think they exist anymore.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, Gonadakis says we can't carve out exceptions. Well, you don't need the ban that needs exceptions.
Yeah,
the ban is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Stop passing bills.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stop pushing these things for political gain.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, using tragic things. To motivate them. Monday of this week, December 1st, was the annual recognition of World AIDS Day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing everything in Ohio to prevent AIDS?
No. Funny you should ask. So, no, actually, because it's kind of interesting, you know, when we talk about World AIDS Day and we talk about what helps people not transmit or get AIDS, it's sex education, so that people know how to prevent the spread of HIV and other sexually transmitted infections, and is making sure you get tested frequently and often if you do engage in risky behaviors, so that you know what your status and so that you don't pass it on to a partner or somebody else in your family. So this is what these are two kind of cornerstones to preventing the spread of HIV, and they're both being attacked in the Planned Parenthood defunding bill. We're going to take away funding from the minority HIV AIDS program and the AIDS HIV infection rates in African American communities are the fastest growing numbers, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So when we really look at, you know, who's really impacted by these, we need the minority HIV program because that makes sure that people in those communities are getting the tests that they need. And we're going to take that away.
I was just looking at the numbers yesterday, roughly half, 48%. Of 2014 new AIDS cases, African-American.
Yeah.
And that is not what the percentage of population is for Ohio.
No.
I don't know what it is. I think it's like 9 or 10 or something like that percent. So,
Yeah.
Minority HIV initiative blocked. So Planned Parenthood and, you know, similar healthcare providers would not be able to use that.
Well, even just Planned Parenthood. I mean, there are two main AIDS testing kind of, actually it's Ryan White funds also kind of go through Department of Health and those kinds of things. And so two of the programs that get the Caracol in Cincinnati and the AIDS Resource Center in Columbus, they changed their name and I think that's right. Both get those Ryan White funds. They of course contract with Planned Parenthood to do other STD testing and preventative health care because they can't provide all that. They do testing, but they don't provide all the other health care services. And so because they do that contracting, because that's the best way for their clients to get health care, they are actually going to get defunded by these defunding bills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's not only just Planned Parenthood who provides these services. It's all of these other providers out there that
know that Planned Parenthood is the place that they should send their clients in contact with them, who will also lose some money.
Right. Yeah. If defunding passes, it says you can't be Planned Parenthood and help people prevent HIV transmission, or you can't help people prevent, you know, getting HIV and contract with Planned Parenthood for anything.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And so some of the schools actually contract with them to do sex education. Mm-hmm. And so now they would not be able to contract with Planned Parenthood, which gives really awesome, great, comprehensive sex education, which a lot of people don't realize include abstinence. And also kids who get abstinence plus education wait longer to have sex. I mean, surprise, surprise. You tell them about it and they're not running out there to do it, because probably either way, the ones who are going to do it are going to do it anyway. So why don't we talk to them about it so that they're safe and protected?
Well, especially because, I mean, you know, the number one way to get a teenager to do something is to tell them that it's bad and awful and they should never, ever try it. Like, come on.
That's what my mom told me about sex, and I waited a long time.
Okay, maybe you're weird.
No, she sort of, kind of, seriously, she did. But she told me the good things, too. She told me all of it, uh-huh. Which is why I waited a long time, because she told me everything.
Which is critical for a kid to hear it.
And exactly.
This, the personal responsibility and education program.
Yeah. Prep, yeah.
I mean, it's for foster youths.
Exactly.
It's for somebody that doesn't have mom there to tell you what you need to know.
Yes. Yeah. And even the children, because I did a project on, when I was still in college in my persuasion class, we did a project on comprehensive sex education in school. And so we had a focus group with teenagers and one with parents. And even, you know, kids who have parents in the home, like, just for whatever reason, a lot of parents are, you know, some are not awesome like my mom, and they don't feel comfortable talking to their kids about it. You know, even on the floor of the Senate when they were talking about this bill, and I remember one of the representatives saying, you know, talking to my daughter, you know, about the facts of life. And it's like, you can't even say the word sex. So I know you're not talking to your daughter about sex and, you know, how to protect her body and protect herself. Because you can't even say the freaking word.
You're talking about a TV show from the 90s?
Yeah, are we talking about the facts of life, Tootie? Okay. So, yeah. So, it's really good that they are there. And they also do a lot of things to facilitate parents having conversations with their kids when they don't feel comfortable. Because that is important. Because it is good for them to hear from their parents first. But like I said, a lot of parents don't feel comfortable talking to them about it. And so then it's up to the school. And if the school, which a lot of them don't have the comprehensive, then kids get no education about it. It really makes me think of a guy in Louisiana, my sister told me about, who contracted HIV. He had used a condom. Sadly, no one told him that they were not reusable. He used a condom with three different partners and contracted HIV because he got the message, use a condom, but nothing else. And apparently, I guess he didn't have money, a whole bunch of money to go out and buy more.
Which you can get from free from Planned Parenthood as long as they're still around.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we should be doing so much more, but no. In Ohio, guess what? We use stupidness for political gain.
Right.
Exactly. And they've already seen that happen in, was it Indiana?
Indiana.
Where they have it's running rampant. The HIV is an epidemic there because they shut down Planned Parenthood. And, you know, the vote hasn't gone through yet. They, you know, it's gone through the House and the Senate, but now they have to figure out which one is going to go through for Casey to sign. But, I think I told you I got a flyer at my old apartment like a month or two ago saying that Columbus had a syphilis outbreak. Mm-hmm.
Actually, there were billboards. It was my favorite billboard ever. And my billboard on High Street by my house, the volcano on it that said, syphilis explosion.
That's terrible.
It was not like the health department. It was some random like syphilisexplosion.org or something. I don't even remember what it was. It was
who probably got government funding for that stupid billboard.
Probably, but it was definitely the talk of the neighborhood Facebook page for a little while. The syphilis explosion billboard in Clintonville. It was hilarious. It's been replaced with something slightly less exaggerated, but it's still like bad.
God, I see these stupid billboards and stuff on TV, and it's that sort of thing. And I just know that some county's health money, some of that went to buy this dumb billboard.
Yes, and that money could have been spent elsewhere. But okay.
Oh wow, that just actually perfectly segued us there, Gabriel.
To
counties misusing their money. That was a perfect little segue.
Mercer County, Ohio.
Yes.
It turns out that they do not want to compromise their Christian values.
Mm-hmm. And government agencies can have Christian values. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's kind of the foundation of our country.
Yeah. They want to pay more. So now they've decided that instead of going to the healthcare plan that is cheaper and would include more stuff, including contraception and the emergency, the plan B, instead of getting plans that would include that stuff, they want to keep the old plan, which doesn't include those things, and it's going up by 8.5%. So that's going to be an additional almost $300,000 a year that taxpayers will have to pay. So this is the party of fiscal responsibility and small government. We're going to pay more to get less because they don't think that the taxpayers want to be paying for birth control. So this is the thing. We're not even talking about abortion here, which again, abortion is legal and we should be paying for it, but we don't. This is birth control, which I don't know if you guys know, actually helps to prevent abortion because if you don't have an unwanted or an unintended pregnancy, then, you don't need to get an abortion, and birth control helps with that stuff. So I just want you to follow that right there. Birth control actually helps, but they don't want that because we've gotten to a place in society that's so ridiculous that we can't even have access to birth control because that somehow is bad.
What I really want to know is what their maternity leave policy looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if we're gonna spend an extra almost $300,000 a year to prevent you from getting your birth control covered.
Yes.
You better have a damn good maternity leave policy. That's all I got to say on that
really,
one. Like
Jamie?
6 months paid. Done. Like that should be your policy if that really is what you're doing.
And I'm sure that's what they have.
Oh, I'm sure not.
I mean,
I'm sure they have nothing.
Exactly. I'm positive they
we'll look
have
into
nothing.
That and we'll update
we
everybody
will.
Next week.
Right. But I'm sure they have nothing as well. Because I mean, but that's the whole thing with them. Like, there's no paternity. They don't. Again, this is not about helping women, the health of women, families. I don't know what the heck is. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know. It's about something. They don't like that. Women are getting more power, I guess. They don't like that we're not barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. I feel like that's what it sort of comes down to, is that, on one hand, it is terrible that all of these things are happening, especially with reproductive justice and women's rights and Black Lives Matter. It's really terrible that certain people are taking it and turning it into a violent thing. But at the same time, that should also let us know that we're being louder and that they're scared, that they're really scared of us right now. And so that's why they feel like they have to hang on with every inch and every bit to try to hang on to keep things exactly how they are and try to take us back from what we have gained already. So we just have to keep pushing, going harder, because right now they're scared as hell and they should be.
Well, I think it's also interesting that because a lot of these places that have not expanded Medicaid or Medicare and not done all these things, they've blamed Obamacare in general.
Yes.
This is not what they're doing. They're not saying we don't want to participate in Obamacare and that's why we're going to stay in our grandfathered plan, the one that we like. It's, we don't want to cover birth control. Like, it's very specific. It is just the birth control thing they have a problem with. It's not a statement on Obamacare in general. It's just this. We want to make sure. And again, it's the, well, we don't think taxpayers want to pay for birth control. Like, have you polled your taxpayers in your country, in your county? Because the last time we polled those in other places, it's like 90% of people like, yes, your insurance plan should cover abortion. It should cover birth control. So, you know, like...
Yeah,
I think is not a factual statement. It's your thoughts, and you're allowed to have your thoughts, but they are not allowed to be facts. And,
exactly. Ugh,
so annoying. Right, and it's not like this county's just floating in cash.
No,
you know, I'm looking at the article here, and they're talking. County commissioners are talking about asking county employees, who this is, you know, this is the health insurance for county employees. He's asking them to do their part to keep their health care costs down. They're talking about wellness programs. They're talking about asking them to choose generic drugs. You know, they're looking for ways to reduce costs, except for the ways that prevent you from having, you know, labor and delivery costs and pediatrician's bills.
Yeah.
You know, extra mouths to feed. They're burning down their own house.
Yes.
To prevent other people from having a decent life.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is the opposite of fiscal responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah. They're trying to drag it back.
Yes.
To what it used to be in terms of moral restrictions.
Exactly.
But they're totally destroying all of that fiscal responsibility that they've stood for so long. Yeah.
And you don't get to keep saying that you're the party of fiscal responsibility and small government and keep doing things like this. Mm-hmm. Like, you can keep doing things like this if you want to. I don't suggest it, but, you know, it's your prerogative. But you can't, you don't get to do that while at the same time saying that we're about fiscal responsibility and saving money. Unless it's about birth control, unless it's about contraception, unless it's about the military, unless it's about gun control, we're for fiscal responsibility and small government. Unless you're trying to do something we don't agree with, then we have to come in and tell you what we think you should be doing. Yeah.
So this is Mercer County, Ohio. Separately.
Yes.
they're not the only local place in Ohio that's going a little crazy.
Like, welcome to Ohio.
The mayor of Hillsboro, Ohio. Put something on Facebook. If you're a mayor, stay off of Facebook.
Yes.
Okay.
another blanket statement that is totally relevant.
Hire someone to do your social media. Get off of Facebook.
Seriously.
Because it's not private, no matter what you do.
No.
He wrote, when are people going to figure... I'm going to take my headphones off because Randy's going to blow my eardrums up. When are people going to figure out that we are in a revolution in this country? Blacks have all but formally declared war on whites. Ideological types are fighting with Planned Parenthood. There's violence over immigration, Muslim extremism, and our own government is at war with its citizens. He said, this isn't a lone wolf stuff. It isn't a crazy with a gun. It isn't domestic terrorism. These are all skirmishes and revolution that's here. He says, pick your side and pick your battles. We are three steps away from all bets off.
I don't even understand what he's trying to say. Like, I'm gathering he's trying to say that black people are the reason why all this other stuff is happening. I don't even understand what he's even trying to say. He's so far off base.
He made another post last week that said Black Friday matters. Basically, you know, a riff off of Black Lives Matter. But now he says that he took it down because he doesn't want to offend African-American residents of Hillsboro.
I'm like, you really
sound like you care about the people of color who live in Hillsboro. I don't know how many black people live there. I feel sorry for them.
It's a decent-sized town.
Okay.
Apparently, he considers himself to be an actual comedian.
Yeah.
Like, he's done stand-up before.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
No.
No. No, it's not at all.
A comedian.
It's not at all. It's very ironic that he says that now he doesn't want to offend, you know, African American residents of Hillsboro. But you said that black people are have called a war against white people, and it's about to be, you have to pick your side. Well, as a white man, I'm assuming you're going to pick the white side. So now you're saying that you're going to have to go to war against the black people in your town.
Right.
Because they're trying happening. To. Seriously. I mean, people want to talk all the time about pulling the race card and, you know, you guys are doing this and what's, you know, all this stuff is happening. I will tell you, you can have the race card any day of the week. At a point when if you want to be 5 times as likely to be killed by the police, go ahead. If you want to be not as likely to be able to get a bank loan, if you want to have to live in a neighborhood where the houses, the wealth has been demolished by the recession, you want to go to a place where the schools are underfunded. I mean, you can, if you want all of that bad shit, white people, you can have it. Like, we don't want it. Like, you can have all of that. So don't try to sit here and say that, you know, oh, black people are, they're playing the victim, they're playing the race card. No, we wouldn't be saying that. I would love not to be the victim or pull the race card, but all of that shit happens that we have to say something about it. And we're not the ones, you know, again, saying that Black Lives Matters doesn't mean that only Black Lives Matters. It's just saying that can we fucking matter at some point in time?
Right.
Because we haven't mattered up until this point, yeah. And we would like to, and is that okay with you? And all the people who are against her are saying, no, that's not okay with us. We're going to keep the status quo, so you guys need to shut up, and we don't want to hear it. And this guy, he's talking about real honest dialogue now. He said exactly what he wanted to say. And now that people are upset about it, now he wants to walk it back. Mm-hmm. Just like all the other politicians who say crazy shit and then want to walk it back. You said exactly what you want to say, and now people are mad about it, so now you want to apologize.
Yeah, you slipped up and said exactly what you wanted to. That was your mistake.
You slipped up and told, what are they? Oh, God, the guy who was talking about the... how the Benghazi committee is really, you know, just a political ploy, yeah. I guess. And uh-huh. then he said that, and it's like, oh, shit, you slipped up and told the truth.
Exactly.
It's exactly what happened, because right. That's what you wanted to say, and you said it, so there it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, just so people know, black people have no interest in waging a war against white people. We realize that we will get nowhere, like, just like, you know, every other movement before, the people in that community are not the only ones who can be pushing it forward. We need other people, allies, to actually move us forward to get anything done. Otherwise, nothing will get done, which is why the BLM protesters go to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley, because they realize we need you to be on our side so that we can actually get stuff done. And there's no point in going to protest at any of the GOP candidates, because they're not going to, I don't think they already know they're not going to get African-American voters. So I don't think they care to get
right,
it.
Right.
They know they're not. So they're like, why bother? We're not going to ask you what you need because we don't care, because you're not going to vote for us. So
except Donald Trump, he's going to get the most black votes ever.
Except Donald Trump, who you know.
Who has people, Black Lives Matter people who come to his events beaten
yes.
in his rallies.
Who is going to get the most black votes ever. Deserve to get roughed up. And he had the black pastors come say that they were going to endorse him. And then they called, like, they decided they didn't want to do it. And so they backed out of it. And now, because he was trying to say they're going to endorse him. And they're like, no, we're only meeting with you. We're not endorsing you. No, no, Donald Trump. No one is endorsing you ever.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. But yeah, this dude is completely insane. He should, I mean, they should really get, I mean, I don't understand why that's okay and you still get to be in office, but apparently people say stuff like that all the time. They get to stay in office. So there you go.
Yeah, I wonder if their election was this year. Or if he's up in a year and a half, that might be an interesting mayor's race to watch.
Exactly. Someone should run against him.
Mm-hmm.
Someone a lot better than him. We need people to run in for office, because we have a bunch of people like him right now, and it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's not the only one thinking that. He might be the only one posting that to his Facebook page.
He's for sure not the only one thinking it. I think a lot of Trump supporters think that. A lot of Ben Carson supporters think that. I think we're talking about, you know, why do, you know, why evangelicals love Ben Carson so much? Because it takes the onus off of them because he went to his closet and prayed and God helped him with his anger. And now he's like such a better person. That's why he's living his life. And so if that's the case, then there's no systemic racism. Black people, we just need to go in our closets and pray. And then God is going to make everything better. The onus is on us. So get in there. Do it because white people have no skin in the game at all with this. No pun intended. Get in there. Do it. It's crazy. What are you going to say? It's crazy. They're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, no. No, no, no.
No. Mm-mm. There's really nothing else to say about that one. It really is. No,
we're going to go to Toledo.
Toledo?
How's Toledo?
How's Toledo? It was stinky, actually. On Monday, Toledo literally stunk, but was fabulous. So it's kind of weird balance.
I mean, they have legit environmental issues. So
they do have legit environmental issues.
I'm just thinking, why does it stink?
I don't know. It was just stinky. I don't know.
Oh.
But anyway, it was kind of that like sewer city smell. But moving on. So we were protesting.
Lake Erie algae.
Yes, it is Lake Erie algae.
Yeah.
But so anyway, beyond the environmental issues Toledo was facing, on Monday they had oral arguments in the Capital Care versus Hodges et al., Kasich and all those folks at the Department of Health. It's their court case to keep that clinic open. And so it was just oral arguments. We did not get a ruling out of that case. We'll probably see something in the next couple of months. And basically either way, if we win or they win, somebody's going to appeal and go to the state Supreme Court, which is a pretty scary spot right now. I mean, I think there's one Democrat out of seven on that Ohio Supreme Court right now. So the odds are not stacked in our favor, even though they're supposed to be judges and be all impartial and stuff. We know that doesn't happen. So what we're doing in Toledo while we wait for this case is really ramping up a lot of the work that Annie's been doing, and we've talked a little bit about on the podcast before, and really pushing ProMedica to do the right thing. They talk about how they're the healthcare leader, the hospital up there, ProMedica. They're the healthcare leader of Toledo. They want to make sure all Toledoans are healthy and blah, blah, blah. But they are the only thing standing in between this clinic being allowed to operate and being closed.
Right.
But ProMedica signed a transfer agreement. This clinic would be open. Well, it is open, but it would have a license and would stop getting harassed by the Department of Health constantly.
Wouldn't cost ProMedica a single penny.
No. Mm-hmm. And probably they would never, ever even see a patient.
Right.
Because
it's not necessary.
Well, right. Yeah, yes. Well, actually, yes. They've been in Terry has been working at this clinic and now owns it for 12 years now, and they have not once transferred a patient, number one. And number two, the University of Toledo Hospital is actually like a half mile away, and ProMedica is halfway across the city. So if they did, in a rare occasion, have to transfer a patient, it would go to a different hospital anyway.
Yeah.
Which has to accept any patient that comes to
the
by law.
Exactly.
So, and they do actually have a transfer agreement. You know, we don't like to admit in Columbus, Ohio, that Ann Arbor can do anything right. So we're going to hold on to that, but we're going to...
We know they can't do football right.
Well, we know that they can't do football right. Again, okay. Proven last week. But we can enjoy their medical center for a second. And because they did sign after ProMedica said no, they did actually enter into a transfer agreement with the Toledo Clinic. But knowing that they would never have to deal with any of the patients because that's not where they'd be transferred to. So... They have a transfer agreement. The Department of Health is saying that's not close enough, even though it doesn't matter. It's a stupid piece of paper. And so that's what's going on with that clinic. So check out the Keep Abortion Safe and Legal in Toledo Facebook page. And you know, you can go to our website as well, prochoiceohio.org, and see what's going on. We're going to do some phone banks. We're going to do some community meetings. We're going to do some, you know, good grassroots organizing, even in January in Toledo, and really try to push ProMedica, because one way or another, this could all go away if ProMedica did the right thing and entered into a transfer agreement.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in Toledo.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can people get involved?
Yay. Now it's time for Let's Get It On. And so upcoming, we're having our second Women of Color Happy Hour. It's going to be here in Columbus at Thursday, December 10th at 5:30 to 8 at Replenish Spa downtown.
Ooh.
Everyone is welcome.
Sounds very
all
nice.
All are welcome. And also going up to Cleveland, December 16th at 7 p.m., they're having also their second time, Stitch and Bitch. at the Bottle House. I am super jealous, actually, that I can didn't go to Stitch and Bitch. I don't know how to stitch or crochet. But yeah, I would love to learn and make a little uterus hat. I could make one for Minnie.
Oh, that would be perfect.
That would be so cute. Shalini with the uterus. Anyway.
The address for the Bottle House is 2050 Lee Road, Cleveland, Ohio, 44118.
Fabulous.
Thank you, Gabe.
Yeah. Got us back on track.
Yeah.
Start talking about the dog over here all day.
Truth. And also on December 17th, I'm really excited about this. Ohio RCRC, which is the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, so it's pro-choice faith leaders, and they're going to have a prayer vigil here in Columbus on December 17th. I believe that's a Thursday as well, yeah. At 7 p.m. at Trinity Episcopal Church.
At Broad and Third.
Broad and Third in downtown Columbus, mm-hmm. Right across from the State House. The event that's on the 10th, you said that's Replenish?
Replenish Spa.
Okay, downtown. It's 124 South Washington Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, 43215. That, it looks like, is just on the other side of the park from the main library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, it's really close to the office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very busy week. Walk of Shame went to everybody everywhere because you're all awful.
Yes. Exactly.
And we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.